chakesu atra gacchantu devata sadammang muni rajasa sunantu sagamokhadang dhamma savana kalo ayang badanda dhamma savana kalo ayang badanda dhamma savana kalo ayang badanda Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammaha sambuddhassa Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammaha sambuddhassa Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammaha sambuddhassa.
So today, the topic of today is Anatta Dakkhana Sutta, the characteristic of non-self. Before I expound this discourse, let me tell you a little bit the background first. When Buddha gained enlightenment on a full moon day of May, today, but not this year, 2,600 years ago, at the same day, full moon day, Buddha gained enlightenment. After his enlightenment, then he wanted to expound the precious teaching to anyone who can comprehend the Dhamma, or to anyone who have only little dust in the eyes. Then he reflected the five monks we call five monks who follow him before his enlightenment. Then he moved, and then he walked to Varanasi. He walked to Varanasi to meet with these five monks. At that time, they had not yet become monks. We call five ascetics. Then he expounded the first discourse, which I have shared with you in last year, Visade. That is turning the wheel of the Dhamma. When he expounded this turning the wheel of the Dhamma, among the five, Kondanya attained, so become the first stage of Noble One. However, in the skies, thousands of Deva attained to higher stage of sainthood. Not only Sotapanna, some Devas become Sagadagami, some Deva become Anagami, and so on. But on the earth, only Kondanya alone become Sotapanna. Then after that, Buddha continued to preach the Dhamma to these five monks. After a few days, Buddha preached the second discourse called Anatta Dakkhana Sutta, the discourse we are going to preach now. After listening to this Anatta Dakkhana Sutta, the rest of the monk, all the five monks, become arahant. Hopefully, after listening to this discourse, one of you become, not to say arahant, sotapanna also enough. Okay. Then, let me explain to you. In this world, there are four classes of beings. One is called Uggaha Uggati Danyu being. The second one is called Vipanchi Danyu being. The third one is called Neya. The fourth one called Pada Parama being. For the first group of being, Uggati Danyu and Vipanchi Danyu, those beings who they can encounter a Buddha in person, and they are capable of attaining the path and fruition through merely listen to a short discourse. So Kondanya, when he first listened to Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, turning the wheel of the Dhamma, he became Sotapanna. So Kondanya belonged to the second, the Ugati Danyu and Vipanchi Danyu beings. But the another four who have not yet attained any stages, so they are out of these two. They are Neya being. Neya being, the third one, Neya being, they have to listen to Buddha's discourse, not a short discourse, but long discourse. And again, maybe several times, or maybe 100 times. And they have to practice many days, many months, many years. The shortest day is 7 days, and the longest year is 60 years. So we cannot meet a Buddha in person, therefore we are not the first and second type of being. We are the third type, Neya Pugala. Neya Pugala. So we have, to become a noble one, we have to listen to Buddha's discourse many times. And we have to practice many days, many months, many years. Okay. So, apart from this Kondanya, the rest of the four monks also belong to Neya, like us. But they are faster than us. So the discourse start. Before the discourse, let me explain to you what is the meaning of anatta first. There are three meanings of anatta. One is called asaraka tena anatta, on account of being without substance. So when we say anatta, the meaning is that without substance, therefore is called anatta, asaraka tena anatta. The second meaning of anatta is asamika tena anatta, on account of being not having any owner, no ownership, is called anatta. Okay, the third meaning of anatta is avasa vata na tena anatta, on account of not yielding to another one's will, not listen to us, it's called anatta, not yielding to another one's will. So anatta got this, imply these three meaning. Doesn't mean that no self, no I here, no. If no I here, who am I sitting here? So don't misunderstand the meaning of anatta. Okay, so this sutta comes from Sanyutta Nikaya 22. Thus have I heard. On one occasion, the Blessed One was dwelling at Varanasi, in the deer park at Isipatana. There the Blessed One addressed the bhikkhus of the group of five thus, "Bhikkhus, Venerable Sir," those bhikkhus replied, "The Blessed One said this, bhikkhus, form is non-self." What is form? Here in Anattarakkhana Sutta, Buddha emphasized five aggregates. So the first one is Rupa Khanda, form. See, form is non-self. For if because form were self, this form would not lead to affliction, and it would be possible to have it of form. Let my form be thus. Let my form not be thus. So first, we must understand what is form. Form is ultimate reality. Form consists of four elements of earth, water, fire, and wind. But in conventional truth, form is the body. If you see body as body, then you only see conventional truth. You must see body comprised of four elements of earth element, water element, fire element, and wind element. Only then you are seeing ultimate reality. So Buddha is talking about both, ultimate reality as well as conventional truth. So from, Buddha said, from if this body were self, then this body would not lead to pain, would not lead to suffering, would not lead to affliction. Just like when you sit on the cushion meditating, after half an hour, the pain arises here, pain on the buttock, pain on the shoulder, and pain on the back. Therefore, you see, this form, if it is self, you can control. Just now I say the meaning of anatta already, cannot be controlled, not yielding to one's will, right? So if it is self, means it can control. Then you can sit on the cushion and teach your body, don't pain, I don't want you to be painful, right? But through your own experience, cannot. Therefore, Buddha said, if form were self, this form, this body, would not lead to suffering, would not lead to affliction. And it would be possible to have it of form, let my form be thus. Let my form be always at ease. And let my form not be thus. Let my form were never sick. You can make a wish like that. But because form is non-self, because form is anatta, then form leads to affliction. Form leads to suffering. And it is not possible to have it of form. Let my form be thus, let my form not be thus. Since it's anatta, it does not listen to our wishes. Therefore, we cannot tell our body to be tell our body to be like that, not to be like that. To be at ease all the time. Not to have pain at all. That's not possible. Why not possible? Okay, please answer me. Why not possible? Because form is anatta. Because form is non-self. And the meaning of non-self means have no any owner and without any substance and also not yielding to one's will or not listen to one's, never listen to one's. Okay, so now since you understand form is anatta, when you come to meditation retreat, don't reject the pain. When there's pain here and there, don't reject it. How can you reject? It's anatta. When it comes, know it, aware of it. Contemplate the four elements on the pain and see they're arising and passing away and see their anatta nature. Only then you can progress in your meditation. If you come to retreat and with the hope, with the desire to get rid of the pain, then there's atta in you, strong atta in you. Because anatta means it has no ownership and it does not listen to what you want. That is called anatta. Okay, the second one, feeling is non-self. There are three types of feeling. Pleasant feeling, unpleasant feeling, neither pleasant nor unpleasant. So feeling is non-self. For if bhikkhus, feeling were self, this feeling would not lead to affliction, and it would be possible to have feeling, to have it of feeling, let my feeling be thus, let my feeling not be thus. So our feeling come from contact. There are six types of contact. Eye contact, ear contact, nose contact, tongue contact, body contact, and mind contact. And because of eye contact, let's say, because your eye, a man's eyes, sees the beautiful woman. So there's an eye contact. So when a man's eye sees the beautiful woman, because of the pleasant eye contact, so pleasant feeling arises. Then when the eye sees the enemy, then unpleasant feeling arises. So when the eye sees the enemy, then you want your feeling, say, no, I want pleasant feeling. When seeing enemy, I want pleasant feeling to arise. Then you are practicing atta. Right? Similarly, when you see the beautiful woman, you want the unpleasant feeling to arise, also you are practicing atta. So when I see the enemy, automatically unpleasant feeling arises. You cannot say, I only want pleasant feeling. I don't want unpleasant feeling. Not possible. The moment feeling arises, the moment whether it's pleasant or unpleasant, when it arises, you just have to aware of it. If you don't want unpleasant feeling, then you note unpleasant feeling vanishing, impermanent, then it passes away, then no more. That is possible. That is the duty of yogi. But if you wish only pleasant feeling and you don't want unpleasant feeling, then you are go against the nature of the Dhamma. Just in our life. The life is up and down. So if you only wished my life to be smooth all the time, there's no suffering, only have pleasant feeling throughout my lifetime, that is impossible. This goes against the nature of Dhamma, the nature of law, the law of impermanence. Okay? So Buddha said, feeling is not self. Therefore, we cannot control feeling, Buddha said. And we cannot say, and because feeling is non-self, so feeling leads to affliction. So when unpleasant feeling arises, it leads to affliction. I only want pleasant feeling. I don't want unpleasant feeling. But in the day, I met with so much unpleasant feelings. Therefore, Buddha said, feeling leads to affliction, and it's not possible to have it of feeling. Let my feeling be thus. Let my feeling be always pleasant. Let my feeling not be thus. Let my feeling never be unpleasant. That is not possible. Why is not possible? Please answer me. Why is not possible? Because it is anatta. Because it is anatta. Okay. The third one, perception, is the same. I'm not going to explain one by one because not enough time. And volitional formation are not self. What is volitional formation? For easy understand, volitional formation means karma. The karma we perform, whether mentally, physically, or verbally. So this, but here, if we say volitional formation, usually emphasize on mental volitional formations. So if bhikkhus, volitional formations were self, then this volitional formation would not lead to affliction. Just like we cannot always have pure mind, good mental karma. We cannot always have that. Because when the mind think of enemy, then anger arises. So that's unwholesome mental volition. So if volitional formation were self, and this volitional formation would not lead to suffering, and it would be possible to have it of volitional formation, let my volitional formation be thus. Let my volitional formation not be thus. Let me always have good karma, never have bad karma. But you can check your own life. We do make bad karma more than good karma. So this karma also never listen to us. But because volitional formation is non-self, then volitional formation leads to affliction, and it's not possible to have it of volitional formation. Let my volitional formation be thus. Let my volitional formation not be thus. It means that sometimes it's all out of your control. Now, out of your control is also another meaning of anatta. Okay. And the last one, consciousness. Consciousness is non-self. For if bhikkhus consciousness were self, this consciousness would not lead to affliction, and it would be possible to have it of consciousness. Let my consciousness be thus, let my consciousness not be thus. So our thinking, in fact, there are six types of consciousness: eye consciousness, ear consciousness, nose consciousness, tongue consciousness, and body consciousness, and mind consciousness. So let us focus on one, that is thinking, my consciousness. And my consciousness is not self. If it were self, then this thinking would not lead to affliction. So sometimes, you know, the mind think of something bad, the mind think of somebody bully me, the mind think of wanting to cheat other people, or the mind think of all the sorrow events that have happened in life, or the mind think of remorse, the bad thing you have done, right? So all this consciousness lead to affliction. Why it leads to affliction? Simply because consciousness is not self. For if bhikkhus consciousness were self, this consciousness would not lead to affliction. If it is self, means that it can be controlled. I only want to have good thinking. I don't want to have any bad thinking. But you can check in your life, in your daily life. No, mind is so restless, almost out of control. Especially when the mind is overwhelmed with defilements. And all your action, your bodily action, your speech, all out of control. And because of that, it leads to affliction. It leads to suffering. So if consciousness were self, it would be possible to have it of consciousness. Let my consciousness be thus, let my consciousness not be thus. But because consciousness is non-self, consciousness leads to affliction, and it's not possible to have it of consciousness. Let my consciousness be thus, let my consciousness not be thus. So Buddha here trying to emphasize that five aggregates that make up our mind and body all are non-self. And because they are non-self, they lead to suffering. And you cannot control this five aggregates of form, feeling, perception, volitional formation, and consciousness. You cannot control them, and you cannot ask them to listen to you. Now, all these five aggregates occur according to conditionality, according to cause and effect. And after Buddha explained the five aggregate are not self. So why Buddha take this anatta lakkhana to be expounded to the five monks? Because Buddha, through his psychic power, Buddha know these five monks have very strong sense of atta. And because that strong sense of atta, they cannot achieve arahantship. So in order to help them to get rid of perception of self, so Buddha emphasized the five aggregate in the sense of non-self. Okay. Then Buddha further continue. What do you think, bhikkhus? Is form permanent or impermanent? I think you also can answer. Right? Impermanent? Permanent or impermanent? You answer either through your practical experience or through theory. Okay. Venerable Sir, impermanent. Then Buddha further asks, is what is impermanent suffering or happiness? Suffering. Venerable Sir, is what is impermanent suffering and subject to change, fit to be regarded thus? This is my, this I am, this myself. No, Venerable Sir. So this sentence is very important for the enlightenment. During Buddha's time, Buddha always, this is called standard formula. Buddha always give this standard formula to the disciple who is ready for enlightenment. So Buddha will ask them, is it form impermanent or permanent? Then they will check. They don't answer by theory. They check their form for four elements, meditation. Is it permanent or impermanent? So they really understand it's impermanent. So they will answer impermanent. Then Buddha will further ask, what is impermanent suffering or happiness? So when the practitioner and the monk, they see the four elements or the feelings or the consciousness arising and passing away, arising and passing away constantly without a gap. So they feel being oppressed by constant arising and passing away, then they will answer suffering. Even they cannot see suffering, they dare not to answer happiness. Okay. So they will say suffering. And Buddha will further question them. Is what is impermanent, suffering, and subject to change fit to be regarded thus? This is mine. They say the four elements. When you see four elements arising and passing away in your body, can you say this four element is mine? Can or not? Cannot. Or can you say this four element is I am? I am the four element, four element as I am. Can or not? Cannot. Or can you say this four element is my atta, myself? No, Venerable Sir. Therefore, they are anatta. Right? To your own experience, if you cannot see anatta, you should quote this sentence or keep on asking yourself. Once you have seen impermanent, usually for yogis, when they have seen impermanent, rapid arising and ceasing, constantly arising and ceasing, they will see suffering. It's almost automatic. But if you cannot see suffering, then you should further question yourself. Is what is impermanent, suffering, and subject to change fit to be regarded thus? This is my, this I am, this myself. So when you question yourself in this way, then anatta, non-self characteristic will become clear in your insight. So if your insight is missing the characteristic of non-self, then you should follow this standard. And most of the monk, after listening to what Buddha taught in this three way, impermanent, suffering, and non-self, they become the enlightened one. Then Buddha first further ask again, one by one, feeling permanent or impermanent, perception permanent or impermanent, volitional formations, consciousness permanent or impermanent. And is what is impermanent, suffering or happiness? Suffering. Is what is impermanent, suffering and subject to change fit to be regarded thus, this mind, this I am, this myself? No, Venerable Sir. So the bhikkhu, the five bhikkhu, one by one, they go through the five aggregates one by one as impermanent, suffering and non-self. Okay, in order to widen, to sharpen the bhikkhu's insight. So Buddha further explained, because these five bhikkhu are going to become arahant, so cannot stop short. Buddha has further give further instruction. Therefore, bhikkhus, any kind of form whatsoever, whether past, future, or present, internal or external, gross or subtle, inferior or superior, far or near. These are 11 types of form. 11 types. Let us repeat one more time. Past, future, present, internal, external, gross or subtle, inferior or superior, far or near. All forms to be seen as it really is with correct wisdom, thus, this is not mind, this I am not, this not myself. In our meditation, most of the time, we only focus on present, five aggregate. We seldom focus on past. We also seldom focus on future. We seldom focus on external. We may focus on internal. We seldom focus on external. And gross, subtle, superior, and so on. Okay, now the question comes. Why should we contemplate the past aggregate, which has already passed? One of my students told me her experience. When she saw her past life, she was a deva. Male deva. He was a deva. Brilliant, powerful, handsome. So when he saw his past life, he developed very strong attachment to the deva form, to the deva bliss, to the deva happiness. And he compared herself now, a mother, with a son, with a husband, with a child, low standard. Then she always have desire, want to go back to the heaven realm. She always, every time she practiced first nama rupa paricheda, first listening mind and body, secondly seeing conditionality, then when he see her past life, he stopped short. Because later on, she doesn't know how to contemplate anicca, dukkha, anatta. She doesn't know how to contemplate impermanent suffering and non-self of the form. Deva form is also made by four elements. They are also impermanent. They are also suffering. They are also non-self. But she doesn't know how to contemplate anicca, dukkha, anatta of this deva form. Therefore, she developed lots of attachment. She always wants to go back to the heaven realm again. Until one day, so happened she listened to my Dhamma talk, then she start to know how to contemplate, how to comprehend or contemplate anicca, dukkha, anatta of that form, past form. And after she contemplated that anicca, dukkha, anatta of that past form, then she understand everything is impermanent. Whether you are the deva, animal, human being, or God, all are impermanent. What is impermanent is suffering. What is impermanent, suffering, cannot be regarded as permanent self. And only then, she discard the attachment to her past life deva form and move forward. Then she moved forward to the attainment of the Noble One. now we cannot see our past life, so we may not know. We may not know. We may not have attachment to the past. But when you get old, then you may have attachment to the past when you were young. Right? When, especially a woman, when I was young, so many men chased after me. Now, nobody wants to come near to me. So you may have also attachment to the past form when you were young. And how about the future? So now, if you live in suffering, you live in misery, poor, ugly, nobody want. But this cannot be changed already. So you cherish the hope for future. So whatever dana you do, offering light or offering flower, then you wish, may I be beautiful as that flower I offer. So you cherish the attachment to the future form, future four elements. I think, don't laugh, I think sure one of you will make such wish, especially women. So they have desire to have excellent, beautiful form if they cannot get now. They want to get in the future. Okay. And this attachment is a hindrance. Because of the attachment, you don't want to see Nibbana. Nibbana, no more form. So this is a hindrance for you to achieve Nibbana. Then, internal or external? External form. We also have strong attachment to the external form. What is the external form? Your beloved son, your beloved husband, your beloved wife, your parents, your sister and brother, all these are called external form. Do you have attachment to them? Yes or no? Yes. So if you have attachment to them, if something, misery happened to them or death happened to them, how will you feel? How will you feel? Sadness, sorrow. Then ask yourself, why? Why I feel sadness? Why I feel sorrow? Why? Because of attachment. Why the attachment comes from? Where the attachment comes from? The attachment comes from because you perceive them as permanent. You perceive them as giving you happiness, right? If you perceive them as suffering, if you perceive them not permanent, then if that happened to them, you feel nothing. Then you may think suffering has ceased for me now. Right? So attachment comes from not seeing things as they really are. Or attachment comes from seeing things in the wrong way. What the wrong way? Seeing things as happiness, seeing things as permanent, seeing things as can control, atta, self, I can control. So because of seeing wrongly, then attachment develops. And now, as a practicing yogi, Buddha teach, we have to see form, their body, as four elements, as impermanent, as suffering, as non-self. Only then, when something happened to them, when death happened to them, or sickness, cancer, or depression, everything happened to them, you will remain unshaken. Because you already understand the true nature of the Dharma. You already comprehended this external form, external four elements is impermanent, is suffering and non-self. So as a practicing yogi, you have to behave differently from those not practicing the Dharma. If you practice the Dharma for so long time, and when that happened to your family, you still cry like anything, then you are same as ordinary person. What the Dharma had helped you? Right? Dharma has not helped you at all. So this is a mirror, your own mirror. Always look at the mirror, don't see how beautiful am I, but see how much I have progressed. The mirror of Dhamma. Okay? Therefore, we have to discern the 11 types of 5 aggregate. Past, future, present, internal, external, gross or subtle, inferior or superior. Inferior like human, below human is inferior, or above human is superior. Or superior, beautiful is called superior, right? Some people born in high caste, like minister's house, prime minister's house. Some born as low caste in a poor family. So superior or inferior, all are impermanent. No need to be, there's not necessary to be delight in the superiority. Okay, because all are impermanent. So all these 11 types of form should be seen as it really is with correct wisdom. This is not mine, this I am not, this not myself. Okay, so after Buddha expounded the form, then Buddha followed by feeling, perception, volitional formations, and consciousness. All of this are to be seen as not I, not my, not myself. And when a person or yogis, on this 4 months, 5 months, experience what Buddha taught, then seeing thus. Seeing thus means seeing everything is impermanent, seeing everything subject to change, and they are all suffering and non-self. Bhikkhus, the instructed noble disciple, experiences revulsion. Revulsion towards form, revulsion towards feeling, towards perception, towards volitional formation, towards consciousness. Experiencing revulsion or disenchantment. Now they become, the mind get tired of these 5 aggregates. And then once they experience the disenchantment, then he becomes dispassionate. He lost his passion towards the 5 aggregates. Previously, he loved the 5 aggregates because he think the 5 aggregates bring lasting happiness. The 5 aggregates can be controlled. Now, they understand all these are non-self, cannot be controlled. Therefore, he lose the lust for the 5 aggregates. Therefore, he becomes dispassionate. And through dispassion, his mind is liberated. Through giving up the lust, the passion, the attachment to the 5 aggregate, internal and external, then his mind is liberated. When it's liberated, there comes the knowledge. It is liberated, and he understands destroy is birth. The holy life has been lived. What had to be done has been done. There's no more for this state of being. And after that, all 5 monks become arahant. After listening to this discourse, anyone gain the insight? Okay, that's what the Buddha, the Blessed One said, elated. Those bhikkhus delighted in the Blessed One's statement. And while this discourse was being spoken, the minds of the bhikkhus of the group of 5 were liberated from the taints by non-clinging. So in order to let your mind be liberated, non-clinging is important factor. Don't cling to the 5 aggregate as permanent. Don't cling to 5 aggregate as happiness. And don't cling to 5 aggregate as self. Only then your mind will be liberated through non-clinging. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.